is what us is what God. And you also admire the way that you have come. Where we could not get in, you got in. I was a bit disturbed when the gentleman said to us, there are records which were not given coming by the department when you needed them. I was given another Eugene. I was disturbed because as a chapter 9, if you need a thing, for you want people to account to help us. We want to get the gist of what is the point are you doing? So that's what I'm going to put to the department tomorrow. That you say even though you bought the department, but it took time for you to get the department the document. That statement alone, I'm not here, I'm not here. Just a clarity on that. You see, there's 2015, 2016, 2017 irregular spending. When I was looking at the slide that was sent to me, they seem not to have changed. They're still on 33%. And more especially on their curriculum. Are these on for point of clarity? Same items as they are. Are they the same items as they are? More especially on the issue of curriculum. You have understand the issue of curriculum. Or are they added? Is there any added information which still lead to the same 33? And then next time I will also request that on page 35, you did mention some of the schools which are, you say they were sometimes not well under demand management. It looks like there was no feasibility study that was done under acquisition and other project management. You will find that some of the things have not been done according to the book. If next time we can also get the exact location of those schools. The location of those schools. You know, when you ask the department, chairman, they will ask you, where did you get it? You might not say that it is in the Northern Cape region, this region, so what this is the name of the school. Then they are seeing the pictures there, but they don't say that. Then that's the chapter. I don't know whether the AG of bishops will be here tomorrow. You know, in the past, what really happened was when we asked in the department will say, oh, no, these people do not know, and they're not telling us the truth. Then they are not there to answer for themselves. If they are here, we'll be saying, hey, this, now we are in for control. If they are here, we'll be very happy. So that we can answer that one. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just a question to Krishna. You said that you were going to use the SA SAMs, but you know that SA SAMs is not mandatory. So how are you going to get correct reporting? Because not all schools use them. If we can just be answered on that. Thank you very much.
I just wanted to check something on the issue of the the investigation. Do the investigation take concerns on the issue of monitoring and support? What was the base like at the time? Like when you did that investigation? And you audited performance around issues of monitoring and support at district level, and also in the national and the province. What was the baseline? Because I think it will help us to understand that if you start somewhere. And I'm saying this because that the department has sort of water to the local community. Say that there is a program which is championed by the minister and the deputy minister to look into issues of strengthening support, strengthening district that are, you know, we find that there is under expenditure, high under expenditure. And then when we talk to the department, they tell us that the issue of concurrent function is a stumbling block towards, you know, achieving full expenditure. So maybe you can highlight on that one. The other point that I wanted to raise is on the issue of the target. We fight all the time with the department about the target. But if you are a department of South Africa, not a department of a province, cannot equate yourself to a municipality. Why the municipality can target to say that we are going to do 20 things, 20 activities, and whereas you are covering more than 26,000 or 27,000 schools, and you target only to monitor nine schools or 20 schools per annum, and you still understand, you know. So if you can clarify us on that issue of the target, because we fight with the department to say that even if you have an annual target of 20, you don't want to get the report at the end of the third quarter. You want a report, the first quarter will need results, the second quarter will still need additional results because they are cumulative. So now, if you can clarify, because I can really see that that point coming up, you know, in the report when you say that there is no proper monitoring, there is no proper coordination, and you know, you can't, like, there is no corrective measures, you know, to be put in place, because you wait until the third or the fourth quarter and you say you want to deliver 20, which is a very small target. So if you can answer us on the issue of how realistic is that thing, that the department always explains for us that no, because we have targeted 20, there's no indicator in the first, the second, and the third quarter, we'll come back on the fourth quarter. So we want that thing, because you look at our strategy plan and the APP, that's the trend.
Thank you.
unit has been capacitated. There are engineers, there are experts. We got a report that it has been strengthened, that it's no longer people who are just dealing with paperwork. We have got people that can go and do building inspection, that can check the plan properly in advance. And that we expect should be able to empower the provinces when they do their infrastructure development, when there's a shortage of resources in the province. So if you can just answer us on the issue of focus, on focus approach, what is this focus approach that you are talking about? And then also the issue of internal audit is coming here. We got a report. We know that it has been happening over and over again, and we were asking, and we were, even if you can check all these members, they will have one person, every one man, every member here will give you about five or more people who have done internal auditing, who have done BCOM. If they don't know where to go to speak to these members, we can give them lists. They are listed in the briefcase in the boot of their car. But there are shortcomings, even though there is internal audit. We would like to, we have commended the department when they came here and reported on the fourth and the third quarter report to say that we are happy that they have taken heed of the advice when we said that they might really do work. But what are the shortcomings? Because the department does not want to come clear to us on the issue of the corrective measures. If the Auditor General does the audit in the municipality, they expect a municipality to have regular meetings, the audit meetings, where each and every unit is able to account on the corrective measures that they are taking to kill all the items so that they are able to move forward. But the report, even though there is progress in terms of capacitating, but what is missing? What is still missing with the internal audit that needs to be taken into consideration, and so that we are able to move from this rate. And then the other thing, particularly on the issue of the corrective measures. In the same way as the schools are able to draft an improvement plan, we expect that there must be an improvement plan that is presented. The department does not want to present for us an improvement plan on how they are going through the process of resolving the recurring problems. Have they given it to you because maybe they fear you more than us? Have they given it to you? And maybe we must get also how often do they meet? Because we can attend those meetings. And it is up to the Auditor General to give us that assurance that those meetings, there is a plan that was submitted, and then these are the targets, and these have been resolved, these are outstanding matters. And then if there are recurring issues from previous years, how is the Auditor General assisting the department to move from those processes? Because you cannot, in South Africa, we said that the generational debt must be killed. It must be killed. When you have something that comes from years, performance and the non-financial performance, but there are certain things that will contribute to quality education. And then they raise the issue of the cost. And if you look at this problem of IT, the problem of infrastructure underperformance in the department and the sector as a whole. As the Auditor General, how do you view that against the rising costs that are there? Because the schools now, they are so expensive to build a school, 34 or 37 or 38 million. And then if a school is not built this year, and then it takes about 4 or 5 years, it might be 50 million very soon. So like in terms of making that clarity to us, like how do you see us moving from this situation while we are not going to be locked there? Because very soon we will not be able to deliver, like if we target 600 schools, very soon we won't be able to deliver 600 schools with the budget that we have. So maybe if you can just clarify us and then maybe the last one is the issue of consequence management. The issue of consequence management has been raised with the department in the portfolio forming. Where we said the DG must explain to us why there is this problem and who has been charged, who has been arrested for this, whether there is a disciplinary mechanism in place to deal with these people who have been fired for, for repeated offense. We want to get the information from you because it can't be the information of the department alone, because we are working together. We want to know in terms of your report, how many people you think they must go there, how many cases qualify to be, criminalized, to go, for cases to be opened, criminal cases to be opened, and how many of people that must be fired. I think I will stop there. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Acting Chair. I think in answering the questions, we'll take your cue earlier on, the same that we should focus on the questions on things that we presented or things that we are in a position to respond to. I will ask Krishna to start and respond to the issues that she can respond to, and myself and she will respond to the rest.
I mean, the first question was in terms of the enrollment, the ages of grade 4 learners, between 4 and 6 years of age, but the requirement is that you must be in grade 4 in the year that you turn 6, so they will get preference for when you apply at a school, so it's the preference in terms of the age bracket. Then, how many learners there should be in a class? We work according to the Norton Standards, and the Norton Standards require 30 learners to work one teacher in a class. Whereas as soon as you move up, it changed to 1 to 40 as being the ratio. Then in terms of the funding and the teacher development, being green, yes, Honourable Member, I understand where you're coming from. I think that specific column we included just to show whether there was an improvement from our previous audit to now. Because if it is going worse, it's placing us in a situation that we will not get out of it. But as it is, there was some progress from the previous audit to now. It's not that nothing happened since the previous audit. Then in terms of FASAN, continued professional development. What we audited last year was teacher professional development, and this year we will do a follow-up again as part of our this year, I mean 17-18. We will do a follow-up again as part of our normal sector procedures. In terms of FGB, part of our audit was only to look at whether they attended training yet or not. We didn't go beyond that. And in most instances, they did attend the training to form part of the FGB. Then in terms of, I think, monitoring, how to strengthen the monitoring, that came up quite a number of times, monitoring and support. Honourable Chair and members, what I want to suggest is as part of our 2015-16 education sector report, we audited the education district support in terms of curriculum. Maybe if we can make that available to you, because it will assist you quite a lot, because we had a look at what is the national department's responsibility, what is the provincial department's responsibility, and what is the district's responsibility in terms of support and monitoring, specifically towards curriculum delivery. So maybe I can speak to our colleagues in Cape Town to get distributed to the members of the committee. Then, in terms of, let me just quickly run through, in terms of whether the school principal must support violent action steps or subordinate, we audit it in terms of management process. So for us, the most important thing is there must be a policy that's directing what is the process that needs to be followed, to who needs to be reported and what is done. So we follow the audit from the existing of the policy at school level. Then in terms of SI stamps, that is not mandatory yet, but luckily we have information systems auditors that is quite brilliant in putting different software packages together and make one population for us coming from a different from different software that is being used. So we're all aware of that. And then I think that if I look through it quickly, the ones on my phone, is there anything that I missed? Is somebody going to quickly help me up?
Sorry, I think I was issue on the baseline.
Thanks, Sibongile. I think in this report that I referred you to, the education sector report, you will see exactly how we audited it. From where we identify in a district, the district should have a plan on which schools they will be visiting, which schools they will be providing specific support and monitoring, because remember they won't be able to do all schools. And then we will measure that, and they need to do quarterly reporting then to the provincial department. So that is in a baseline again for us to go to the provincial department to see, okay, did you receive then all your quarterly reports from the district? And then what did you do with whatever was reported? How did you enable them by recommending the remedial action? So In general, we work from the plan, and the baseline was work on quarterly reporting throughout the different systems. Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Honourable Chair, Members, if I might keep the excuse, I'm first like a quarter of that. Thank you for providing us this opportunity to interact with you. I think it's a good thing that we can do, and I'm sure we can do build on it going forward. So thank you.
Okay. I'll take the second part of questions. should be handling the implementations and what our recommendations from our side. So basically, we've had a long discussion with the department on this, and maybe just to give a bit more background. As I mentioned, we highlighted this issue in the prior year as being quite concerned. We have since then had regular interactions with the DG's office and the DG himself. For us, we have got a very good relationship with the DG. He's also on the same page in terms of resolving the issues regarding SED. So what happened was, although you can't see the outcome reflecting the audit outcomes, there has been an improvement coming from the DG's involvement specifically. But this did not remove the issues we had, like the one that you mentioned, in terms of us obtaining information and how we requested it. So that was the work that the department needs to do in terms of that going forward. So from our side, we then made a commitment with the department that we will now, in August, in October, have a debriefing session with the department. We have already asked them to task and to draft an action plan as to how they're going to address these issues and as to how they are going to increase the monitoring of the implementing agents. Because as we highlighted, the issue is in terms of the lack of monitoring of the implementing agents. Yes, they do have the CD unit that has been capacitated with QSs and engineers to help monitoring the implementing agents, but at this particular point in time, we have still found some of the issues within that unit. So that unit is not effective as it should be at the moment, but with the help from the DG and the DG holding these people accountable, I'm sure we can start showing results going forward. So we'll have the debriefing session this year, like I mentioned in October. Then that status of record review that I, the one slide I had, that's the slide we're going to perform now at the end of every quarter, where we will go and audit specifically that implementation plan, that action plan they want to actually implement to try and resolve these things. And by us auditing that status of record, that action plan, we will then be in a position to early inform the minister and the DG whether or not progress has been made in a specific unit. From our side, we will keep interfering, intervening with the DG, making aware of the issues. We also have a good relationship with the audit committee and the audit committee chair. We also have a good relationship with internal audit. So at the moment, there's a new audit committee chair that took over in the beginning of the year. And then there's also a newly appointed internal audit director, that's the head of internal audit, and we've seen great improvement from those two assurance providers already. It's just because they came in very late in the financial year, when 16-17 was actually completed, that they weren't able to make such a big difference. But we do have the support from them, and whatever we won't cover, we will make sure internal audit looks at that. So we are definitely on drive to specifically isolate the CD and to try and improve the CD unit specifically and the outcome of the CD. We also had interaction with the minister and the deputy minister, and the deputy minister also made a commitment to us that he's also taking the CD project under his wing, and he wants us to also give him inputs as in how we continue and progress on it. So that's regarding the CD recommendations. I think another recommendation that we had is for them to tighten up their contracts with the implementing agents, because before we found there were some weaknesses in the contract where implementing agents weren't held accountable for performance, lack of performance. So subsequently, those contracts have been improved. We found that as being definitely a root cause, and then also project management from the department side onto these implementing agents. They've also now started to cut ties with implementing agents that are not performing. So they weren't contracted with implementing agents that are actually not performing at the moment. So they are trying to avoid those implementing agents and then just to contract with implementing agents that are actually performing. So there has been improvement and measures being been included by the DG's office. We keep regular updates on specifically our CV, and we will definitely tackle this now before our final audit process starts, so we can definitely highlight them to the DG on the issues. Like I mentioned, we actually are having quarterly audit committee meetings where we report on this, but we have spoken to the DG that we need to have maybe more regular meetings than quarterly to give them feedback on these specific issues. The recruitment of irregular expenditure and fruits and wasteful expenditure, I know at the moment they are busy with the investigation on this for irregular expenditure. And once the department has finalized the investigation, we will look at the consequence management from that point of view. Irregular expenditure, fruits and wasteful expenditure, they actually, as far as I understand, they in talks with the FIU on the Karakuri program, and as to how they will recover the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So they are busy investigating that at the moment. What's the recommendation on the CV underspent? So, yes, there was quite a large underspent on the CV program of 47%. When we engaged with the minister did make mention of the fact that she does not want to pay for services that have not been delivered, and therefore there was a big scrutinization before payments were made. This resulted in an underspending of the program, and this was mainly due, yes, to underperformance of implementing agents, which also resulted in a lot of the spending not being incurred. They will, as far as I understand, the DBE will then they have written to the National Treasury to try and retain this money, as far as I understand, for CD projects going forward. So it won't be wasted. It's not spent in 16-17, it will then be reallocated in 17-18 for specific CD projects. How are schools funded and supported by DBE and PEDs? At the moment, obviously, we only audit the national department, and then the national department transfers down to the provincial department, and the provincial department then execute the monitoring function through the districts. And each district is then responsible for the circuit, and that's the way it breaks down. So the way the funds are being supported is then through the transfer payment that gets made from national to provincial and provincial to district, and then the accounting process from that. Basically, we have identified last year when we did our sector focus areas, we identified some plastic issues within the districts, and those issues have been highlighted in the provinces, the provinces within the accountability for the way the funds are being spent. The relationship with the Internal Audit and Audit Committee, like I mentioned, we've got a very good relationship with the Internal Audit and Audit Committee, and like I mentioned, they're newly established. The Internal Audit, not newly established, but just enhanced with some new members, so we are definitely working with them at the moment. They were also part of the Karakuri investigation, and they helped us a lot in the Karakuri investigation in order for us to reach the previous person that we reported on. And the one member asked, what's the variation order of more than 100%? Yes. So basically what we identified is that the initial project cost, if I talk about, let's say, initial school was supposed to be 10 million. Then we found the school was built for 20 million. We're not saying that it was one contractor that had more than 100%, because the original contractor was procured, and then due to either non-performance or financial difficulties by the contractor, there being financial concerns, then the department then recontracts with another contractor. The problem is every time that original that in the one instance where new contractors were contracted, and the school that was supposed to be 10 million did cost 10 million, and we also did identify issues where more than 30% of the original contract price was actually about 50% of the actual contract price. Okay, one of the members' questions was how many schools have been transferred?
Have not been, okay.
Well, since the start of the city, not one school has been transferred. At the moment, they're all on basic education's removal as register, and they are focusing this year on transferring some of those completed projects. But for now, at the moment, not one school has been transferred.
Okay.
Where's the problem with the city? I think one of the biggest issues with the city is what we need to remember is that the department is responsible for education and not for building of schools. So that's how the whole issue started, was with the lack of skills within the department to actually monitor and build schools, so therefore they rely on implementing agents to do this for them. If the implementing agents then fail, then that will have an effect on the department's budget in terms of implementation not performing as intended. The main root causes then, obviously, at the moment is then when it's just the monitoring between the department and the actual implementing agent, and what with the city unit now being capacitated, that role must just be strengthened between the actual implementing agent and actually the city unit in terms of the monitoring of the contractors. For regular expenditure, and were there any new issues? Or is it the same as in the prior year, what gave rise to the increase? So for your regular expenditure, it's more or less related to the same issues as the implementing agents, same issues reoccurring in terms of variation orders, more than 30% SCM not followed, contracts that have expired, still being made payments on, those things are the same. What was new this year is the classification of the Karakuda implementing agent management fee that came into account this year, and then also there's also an account for one of the adopter schools that we reviewed in terms of the budget. What we found is that the selection process followed the adopter school process. But those were the main contributors to the additional irregular expenditure. But yes, at the moment, if you look at the last 2 years, there are the same recurring issues, and that's why we actually highlighted this in the moment and focus area going forward to try and prevent irregular expenditure. So as much as the department's got a distinct responsibility to detect and prevent irregular expenditure, at the moment the department has improved processes to actually detect it, but they have not yet improved processes to prevent it. And that's what we want to do this year. We want to make sure that we have processes as to the department is trying to prevent irregular expenditure before it actually occurs. Then one of the members asked if they can have specific names of schools where city issues were identified. I will have to find that from my report. I don't have it with me at the moment, but it can be provided to the committee. Yes, tomorrow my manager, Lucy, is sat next to me. He will definitely be present in the portfolio committee tomorrow with the department. If there's any questions, he will be able to answer. I will also have another meeting, but I will try and be present as much as possible. Yes, one of the questions are, not all schools use this exams. How does this be enforced? So the department actually has a specific target in their annual performance report that talks about schools using this exams. So they're trying to drive that through their own policy. Not a legislative requirement or anything, but departments are trying to actually force schools to use SA SAMs. and ultimately then move over to Moodle, because Moodle will be the actual learner tracking system and performance system that the government wants to use. One of the questions was asked as to performance information and how quarterly targets are being actually monitored by the department. So basically, you have to assess what type of target it is. Is it an annual target or is it a quarterly target? Because some of the targets might be an annual target. And I'll just give an example. You might have an annual target of electrifying 100 schools because of the length of process it takes. And it might not be done within a quarter. So you have to then assess as to what is the annual target and what is an actual quarterly target. The quarterly target, the department will need to provide feedback to the portfolio committee as to how they have actually achieved those quarterly targets. And then you can then ask for the information to be verified or certified in a way. And then you can maybe ask internal audit to have a look at you for you on those actual reports. Because I think one of the things that we've also identified is that the report that we received from basic education, from our annual audit, is not always credible and reliable. So that's really one of the things we can use. If it's an annual target, then maybe what you can then ask the department is to provide your progress as to how they are doing in terms of reaching that annual target and what quarterly milestones they will be reporting. Those are just maybe suggestions. I know the thing is we audit an annual performance plan, so we will look at the annual achievement. We don't look at the actual quarterly target, and we express we review the annual performance report in total. So therefore, the quarterly monitoring process, we do look at it in terms of a control process, but we don't actually look at it in sufficient substantive detail in terms of the quarterly process. Just see that answers. Okay. One question was the action plan. Is there an action plan from the department? At the moment, we've not yet received the action plan for 16-17 audit. We are having a debriefing meeting, like I mentioned, with the department in October, where they'll present the actual action plan to us. We will go through the action plan, we will audit the action plan to make sure that the actual root causes are being addressed, sufficient to actually address the actual findings. So that we will do now going forward. That action plan then usually also gets monitored by the audit committee, and then they will track the department progress in terms of that specific action plans with the audit committee, and then the audit committee also then sometimes asks internal audit to review the credibility of that specific action plan that gets reported to the audit committee. So yes, there was an action plan last year. There was one drawn up for 15-16, but you will see we did highlight the fact that it wasn't effective in our key controls because it didn't prevent recurring findings from reoccurring again. In terms of consequence management, like I mentioned, at the moment DBE is doing investigation on irregular and fruitless wasteful expenditure. Only based on the conclusion of that investigation will the DG be able to actually take proper steps regarding that. We can only monitor the compliance of those steps in terms of the PFMA requirements. So we will just review and see whether or not there are actually investigation happening first of all, and actually what then the consequence management that has been applied. Maybe that can be a question for the department, and specifically for the DG as to how is he going to actually implement proper consequence management for the deep findings. On the concurrent function, from our side, with the sector. So the sector and all the provincial departments, they've got exactly the same performance programs that they need to report on. That program 1 to 7, and that is set by DPME. And those programs are exactly the same for all 9 provinces. So what we do from our side is we will audit, we will then select some of those programs, and we will audit the same programs throughout the 9 provinces to see how the different provinces actually implement the different programs within the different provinces. Yes, there is a problem with concurrent functions in terms of authority between local government and provincial government and the national government. But we still feel that basic education does need to still execute and concurrent function over the sector to a degree. They can't force the provinces to comply with specific legislation, but they are still playing a vital role in terms of policy setting and aligning the sector to try and get the sector to work towards the same goals. So what we did this year is we actually took the MPSF, we looked at outcome 1, and then we aligned all the annual performance plans of the sector. And we made sure all the specific outcome 1 targets covered in all the annual performance plans. We then identified some gaps within those plans, and then subsequent to that, we then engaged with the department. The department has got a headcount where all the HODs of all the departments sit together, and then they will discuss the strategic alignment to ensure alignment to MPSF. So that is a way national department is influencing the provinces in terms of concurrent function. But it does become difficult where the Premier Office does not have the same priorities as the National Minister. So that does become a challenging, and sometimes the DG is caught up in trying to align the provinces regarding that. I think I've answered all the questions. If I've missed any questions, please. Feel free to ask me. Thanks.
Continue with us because even though some are working very fast, I'm not participating in the department.
They're bringing just like so long the stay.
So this is a public meeting in any way. And we would like to extend the invitation to the internal audit unit and the basic education to see the platform. As the Tajima moves out, can we take the space?
We are just monitoring the meeting and just write reports and all this stuff.
How much are you going to write now?
I'm going to write what you are saying in the meeting. Whatever you are saying in the meeting, I'm going to write it down. That's why I need your name.
So much, why is Vele not? So Vele.
Vele, I took over from Vele. I need to have my own. Thanks.
Thank you. So, with the appointment of the new accounting officer,
system where the stability in leadership you can see in the department. Personally, I see him as an accounting officer with a high regard for corporate governance. He focuses on corporate governance and good performance. He also interacts very closely with the audit committee as accounting officer, as we advise from that side. There's a new risk management committee with an external chair, a new external chair appointed to the risk management committee to improve risk management. You would have seen in the Auditor General report that there were also issues in terms of risk management. And if you have poor risk management, you also don't have the controls in place to prevent these from occurring. I've mentioned that we have a new audit executive, and then we also have a new audit committee. So hopefully there's a few new brooms here that can assist. There's one small remark which is positive from the Auditor General's management letter, where the Auditor General has indicated that there has been signs of improvement in this current financial year, and we hope to extend this and to build on this with the assistance of the Auditor General, of course. There are a few challenges still. In terms of leadership oversight from DDG level, chief director level to director level, that leadership oversight was not entirely effective, especially if you look at the CD. I'm not going to repeat everything that the AG has said, but if you have those, the magnitude of problems that we have there, it's clear that there are problems in terms of leadership oversight and poor management within especially the CD project. There's been a change where the CFO is now reporting directly to the accounting officer, the CFO, which has been implemented, which will strengthen the capacity of the CFO's office, which in the past reported to the DDG Corporate Governance. Yes, Corporate Services, Corporate Services. So DG has moved her out from on the Corporate Services. She's reporting directly to the accounting officer, which is positive. I'm still concerned in terms of the capacity that they have in the finance section in terms of staff, knowledge, etc., and also in supply chain. A number of issues occurred in terms of supply chain, irregular expenditure, things that slipped through. So we will keep a close eye on supply chain from the side of the audit committee as well. The AG has referred to this. We have not been successful, honourable members, in addressing the 2015-16 audit findings at the department. In terms of improvement, I will touch on the process that we will follow for this year in the next slide. And then, colleagues, and then also our honourable members, there's a clear problem in the department. If you look at the impact of what happened in our CD and the impact on the financial statement, I will touch on that, is a silo approach between finance and our CD. We sat in the meeting to discuss the financial statements at the end of the financial year, just after we joined. And at that stage, finance and ICD were still arguing in terms of certain figures and who's responsible, and CFO had to send her staff to go and get some figures, etc. So there's no synergy here. What happens in ICD in terms of work in progress, completed projects, completed schools, etc., impacts on your financial statement, and then if there's no synergy here, then they at finance use what they have, they draw up the financial statement, but then find out later that work in progress wasn't complete, so there was a number of issues. So
what we've now decided, we've had an audit committee meeting 2 weeks ago, and I've recommended to the DG, and he has instructed that there will be a workshop now between ACD and finance to get to a joint process that will assist finance in getting the information on time, to get the correct information. We don't want people from different divisions running around and trying to get the same information. So that is going to be held before the end of October. And I will personally, as audit committee chair, request from the relevant managers a written report, and then we will review that new process or structure, what you want to call it, actually business process between ACD and FAC. Because without that, we will keep on having these adjustments to the financial statements, etc. So we're looking forward to the results of that, and I believe that for the issues on the financial statements, this cooperation will definitely improve. If we look at the audit outcomes, colleagues, of the regularity audit, honourable members, you would see on the right-hand side what we've spoken about. So I don't need to reiterate. High risk, high impact remains our city project. We had the high impact, Karikude, which we now know is limited future risk because it's phasing out. It's not being ignored, honourable members. There are processes in place to recover money, people who were negligent, etc. There will be investigations. We will monitor from the audit committee as well. We have requested and we will monitor an investigations register at the audit committee for all investigations that take place within the department, so that we can see this was what happened, this was the responsible person, and this is where we are in terms of the actions. So that, we hope, will assist in managing this. Honourable members, and I will lie if I say I'm not worried still. I will not remove ACD there from a high risk, high impact at the moment, even in this current financial year. I have not seen the evidence yet that we have sorted all these problems. So we will keep on monitoring this, and if we don't have a huge intervention from the side of the department, from the side of the accounting officer with regard to ACD, we will see a reoccurrence. So this will be a focus area, definitely. Kariguria, we will just keep on monitoring because of the phase out process. There are a number of housekeeping issues, honourable members, and then there are a few matters that the AG raised that could also potentially affect us in the future. But we will have to first, we've got to drive, honourable members, to get to a clean audit for this department. And to get to a clean audit, the first thing that we will have to resolve is ACD in all of its problems. So we will keep on monitoring that. That is just to indicate to you where we will keep on focusing. The agents already referred to this. The problems in ACD led to misstatements in our assets. Commitments were misstated. Accruals were wrong. Irregular expenditure. The list goes on. And that is something that we will have to sort out. If you look at your modified cash basis, the moment you work with implementing agents, that is an exchange transaction, honourable members, which means that everything goes to the books of this department, everything, every asset comes back to this department, and you must do this in terms of the procurement processes of government. And that we must oversee, and that has been a problem. I've already alluded to this, the silo approach that we had between ACD and finance. I'm not happy with the way that this section was managed. the project managers were clearly not performing. We blame an implementing agent, honourable members, but you can't blame an implementing agent if you're not managing that agent. So that is clear. It is, they must be managed. And if they don't perform, measures should kick in. So we will keep on monitoring this. And then finance really struggled this year to get the information to draw up the financial statements. And we will need to resolve this. And we will also monitor, and the accounting officer, Emily, you must just correct me now, has already written letters to relevant managers to indicate why there shouldn't be disciplinary action against it. So from the accounting officer's side, he has commenced the process to expedite this whole process of investigation into the irregular expenditure, etc., etc. In terms of action, we've already mentioned the workshop that we will have. We will request a full set of half-year financial statements, a full set of financials, not a financial report. We've agreed with the CFO. We will look at regular monthly reconciliations to be prepared, together with our CD specifically. We will also look at internal audit effort to direct more internal audit effort towards these, and we will also look forward to the interim audit by the AG. Karigudi, I'm not going to touch on again. The review of financial statements I've touched on, honourable members. Let me just look at the performance information. There we are aware of the risks. LURITS remains a risk for us because the AG cannot trust the information on there. There is a process in the department to look at this, but it might be quite a difficult task to complete. With regard to performance information, the audit committee has recommended that that the department acquire an electronic system to manage performance information, not have the manual system anymore, that will assist managers to see whether the evidence in an internal audit can look at the evidence to see whether it's reliable as it should be. And then we will also request internal audit to do more detailed work, quarterly, on the performance information as it is reported to the Minister and Department. On the Management Action Plan, there was a question previously. We have received the first draft, honourable members, of the Action Plan based on the AG's findings. I wasn't entirely happy with it, but it was the first draft. We've looked at it in general. Then the Auditor General has generously offered to have a workshop with management to look at the detail, what management intends to do, and will this work? And we really appreciate this as an Audit Committee, honourable members, because that will give us an early warning to say, management says we're going to do X, Y, and Z. AG might say, this will not resolve the root cause of this problem. So after this meeting in early October, management will revise the audit action plan and it will be resubmitted to the audit committee. We will have a special meeting to look at this and to see whether this will really address the root causes of findings. This will of course be monitored on a quarterly basis by the audit committee, but I think given where we are, we will have to have a few special audit committee meetings as well to look at certain problem areas like the CD, etc. Internal audit has worked with the AG. Internal audit has done a lot of work on Karigudi and they've identified quite a number of issues there, and it has contributed to us stopping payment to some of these issues of these projects. And then, in conclusion, honourable members, we will continue to address these issues. In the audit committee, we keep a tracking register and monitor management's progress against these findings. And we will specifically look at these high-risk, high-impact quadrants that we've just shown the members. And, honourable chair, I've tried to be as quick as I can.
Number 6 is the report. question. Do you have a dashboard that manages that monitors contracts and, you know, contracts signed, contracts payments that are made and so on, and where those sorts of things get picked up? Or is it only management that actually has those sort of dashboards to monitor? Well, in fact, does management have a dashboard like that that monitors contracts? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I don't have a question, Chairperson, but I just maybe a comment to me. My comment is that my expectations is that I'm happy with the improvements that are being made, the stability in leadership, but I was expecting that such stability should be cascading to the maybe to the until the lower level management level. Not a situation where you happen to find the accounting officer getting performance bonus while the middle and lower level are not getting performance bonus. To me, that does not make sense, because I will ask you to what is it that the top one is performing if the one that are reporting to are still not to be performing. I'm just happy that it is indicated that yes, there are letters written to those that are reporting to the accounting officer to do something, but what I'm expecting is that really, if we say what you say, we need just look at the head when it's in the movie. Just look at the head. I cannot condemn the covering issues in a process, but it's only the head that I'm going to look at it. Yes, the driver of that train is moving, but not the conductors and the people who are in the train. But yeah, that's what I'm going to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sure all of us, let me say, myself as well, is upset. Because maybe I placed you in the wrong category. I thought that you are the internal audit of the department application. Because my question on from this previous presentation that we had to get clarity from internal auditors of the CPP of how that will come that we have so looking whereas we have people inside who can care this problem before they go out. I hope, Chairperson, next time, since now we have a new committee that just at the department is coming to present to us, the internal audit. Them, are they not the committee? How have you presented yourself? You said you have oversight.
Yes.
On implementation of internal audit.
This is the chair of the internal audit committee.
Why don't we get such a report from the AG and you are there people to give us warning before they go out? How can we? You said there was a sentence that I had. You're not successfully. You didn't address successfully the findings of 2016-17. And this because they are still new person. There was no time to arrive. Because we are expecting you to address this. this problem and to warn the department before they get out there to AG, you warn them that there is this and this and this and this. And then you have challenges, you have a list of challenges that you have mentioned. But like I'm worried with leadership oversight from DDG level, chief director, director, not effective. These findings that we have, you know, challenges, do you have a recommendation on how to address them?
Thank you, because you know, many honorable persons are still a bit confused. Am I also going to ask the right question? Because I told you in the internal audit, whatever comes, however it comes, you are doing oversight on the internal. So both of you must one account. We have the accountability to do here. You did not check if an actor came in and checked what you're supposed to have found, it becomes a problem. But you are dealing with these people on day to day. Yes, sir. So those in the internal audit, they account to you and then you account somewhere else. I think you should have seen there are problems. You see, well, what type of account of duty are you doing if you are failing to find out that this lorry is that they were paid 2 months, but they paid a lot of money too, and it's not working. It's not working. Because every time the department will come here, will say, no, everything, all systems are fine. With stamps, with lorries, with everything is fine. You are there, you cannot see it, and somebody else, once in a year, comes and says, that thing is not working, it's not credible. It's not credible. You know, we've been looking, oh, this is credible, this is fine, this is... So I'm not the people who must do the front job inside there. You have to do it inside there. I'm not happy the way they are. If they are saying they are still not, to me it does not go away. What have you done with those findings that it happened before? What did you do? What's your plan? We must be truthful here. We cannot come here and just sit at 4 or 5 for nothing. Oh, you must do that again.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. You know, the difference here is that you are talking to newly recruited schools. In the report, they highlight that these people, they were recently employed. So now they just presented a plan to us on the things that they have identified. And if you have listened very well to the AG, they said that they came in too late to can assist the process. So now, let's give them the benefit of the doubt, because today they are here to create a rapport with us. They are being introduced to us, and then it's very good that they came and sat in the 2 meetings of FSC and the AG. And I think it will sharpen their response when they do the training and all that. So I think I'm not saying the work must not be harsh, because like when you are a leader, you carry on. You know, the good deeds of your predecessors are yours. Even the bad deeds, you inherit them. So it's a lesson for you that you must take to heart. And the members, they are waiting with bait on for you. So you must assist the department to move out of this red flag. So for me, I would request that let's create a rapport, you know, like we want to regularly have sessions with you so that we are able to update us, because it's very difficult, like there are limitations in terms of the powers that we have as a portfolio. You can call the DG, the minister and all that, but you don't have the authority to be executive at the same time. So we
to do that and help us to, you know, to achieve what we want. So I'm requesting that that report that you are talking about of the action plan, let it come to the audit action plan. Let it come. Let's come and adopt it. We want it to come here and be adopted as an improvement plan of the department, so that we must monitor it and check regularly that all these things that we have flagged in the meeting, they get addressed and very quickly, and we have confidence in you. I suppose that when we were appointed, they knew that we had the capacity. So we have the confidence. So we would appreciate it that the secretariat are able to slot you in the sessions of this committee meeting, so that we always come and report to us. We don't want to think of you saying that we are going to meet on a quarterly basis. On a quarterly basis, we'll check the train when it's already in Belgium and you are here. So the meeting was the regular. We know that there are cost implications there, because the only thing is they just paid for sitting. But because we have got a lot to do, like the amount of money that we have lost, which amounts to about 9 billion, does not equate the few claims that you are going to make. They want to amount to 9 billion or 47% of the budget. So we want you to be at work and make sure that you reverse the situation. There must be a total, you know, 180-degree reversal of the problem, especially on the issues of ICT, because for us, ICT has got a lot at stake. It's jobs for people, it's the future of our children, it's the future of our country, the economy is blooming out. There are so many things, you know, that are at stake. So now we want you to make sure that all those people that are responsible, they must be taken to task. And it can't be that you have the SMG not, you know, being, you know, getting everybody to the, starting from the DDG, and a DDG, and even more than us in Parliament. As a member of Parliament, I don't end the salary of a DDG. And there are tools of trade that are being allocated. There are so many things that are allocated so that those people are able to do their work with ease. So I'm saying that as a portfolio committee, we agree that that work must be done. And within 6 months, we must see the difference. Within 6 months, we must see the difference of the work that you have done as a committee. And then I think members, we have dealt with a lot of issues today, to belabor on them, it would be to destroy the essence of those items. So I would like to thank you for being.
No,
do you have a follow up?
No, it's in the question. We haven't had any answers yet.
Mm. Okay.
It's not a follow up.
Thank you, the Honourable Chair and Honourable Member Ollis. In terms of the dashboard that you're talking about, just some clarity in terms of contract management or in terms of the performance against projects. Because the performance against projects we do see in our quarterly meetings as the audit committee. On the performance report that we do get against the APP. So that we do see, and then also internal auditor review whether the evidence is clear. But we do not keep an operational contract register as the audit committee. As far as I know, there's in the CFO's office, you do have a contract register. CFO, you can be added.
Done by the but we are talking to monitor after the issues that we're missing. Yeah, after our last audit committee.
That's the answer that I can give you, Honourable Member. That's why there's a problem. Oh, yeah, be quiet. The Honourable Member, in terms of, yes, cascading to the lower levels, we can already see that in the department. The accounting officer has included in all managers' performance agreements a percentage. Emily, how much is that for all the classes? 15. Maybe we can just get the correct fact from the CAE. But in the performance agreements from DDG downwards, it has now been written in terms of audit matters and controls, etc. Do you have a percentage?
Thank you, Honourable Members. What has been included, the exercise which we started recently with HR and analysis, we grouped all the ATP indicators to align to every DDG so that when they are evaluated, so that it's linked to the performance of all the ATP. So that process has been included. We did that with HR.
If that's a partial answer, Honourable Member, your question. So it is being monitored and there's a strong focus on that. And it's again, it's specifically some of these problems we've experienced in our city, in other areas of the department where you could see the performance is good, it has not been good. But because of the sheer size and impact that our city had, we have to focus on it. Honourable Member Basson, yes, the Audit Committee is an early warning system, we can call it. But the Audit Committee is also not an operational unit in the department. We also meet quarterly to review the quarterly reports from internal audit, from management, etc. But you are correct that internal audit must give us sufficient warning on this issue, and that's why I indicated in the beginning, Honourable Member, that we rely heavily on the work internal audit does, so we will also look at her capacity, what she has to be able to complete all this work, because there's a lot to be done. But we approved an annual coverage plan, which actually a 3-year plan and an annual plan that the CAE presents to the Audit Committee to say we're going to look at the following areas. They also discussed that plan with the Auditor General so that we can see that we have sufficient coverage of the risks in the department. The problem in the past, the idea that I got from the reports I saw was that internal audit, as you've correctly indicated and the Chair has indicated, wasn't effective. But maybe we can give her an opportunity to prove that it is no different, Honourable Member. And then, Honourable Member Nguni, I think it relates to the answer I gave to Member Basson in terms of oversight. Yes, the Audit Committee is constituted of independent people from outside the department. We're not employed by the department. We also get assurance from a number of assurance providers. That's assurance from management, assurance from internal audit, and assurance from external audit. And we use that to also do early warning, and we liaise with the accounting officer, advise. We also have a line of communication to minister if we need to, if there are serious problems. So that is, in short, the oversight that we do provide as an audit. And Chair, in terms of your request, the audit action plan, it will be finalized soon after we've done the detailed workshops. I don't think from management side it will be a problem to submit it to this committee. And we will also now, because it is already late in the financial year, we are very cognizant of that. So a lot of work needs to be done to make sure that those action plans are implemented and that they will have the desired effect in time. And we will have to direct a lot of internal audit effort
towards that as well, to give us assurance that it is working as intended. And you scheduling, Jim, an interim audit for November? Start planning in November. So there will be an interim audit by the Auditor General. They will provide the Audit Committee with a full management, interim management service, so that it again allows us some time to address any remaining issues after that, before they do the final audit. Thank you.